May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1036. Seek ye my face, the Saviour cries. My soul, where canst thou find supplies, but in the Lamb for sinners slain, who has not shed his blood in vain. 1036.
Read together from the Holy Word of God in the prophecy of Zephaniah and chapter 3. Zephaniah's prophecy, chapter 3. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city, She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. Howsoever, I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord, to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not. And to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee. And I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth. When I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and art to come, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we seek to come and bow before thy glorious and eternal majesty. We read of thee in thy word, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Lord, we are the poor fallen sons and daughters of Adam. We are unclean and unrighteous in every part. Sin courses through every vein of our body. Shame and confusion of face belongeth unto us, O Lord, as at this day. For we have sinned from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. There is no soundness in my flesh. Great God, we bow as such before thee. We read, O Lord, in thy word, some very wonderful words of grace. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. What a wonderful Saviour. What a glorious Saviour. What a compassionate Saviour. Truly, O Lord Jesus, thy name is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We come to bow before thee. We come to confess our sins. We come to acknowledge our ill manners in the wilderness, our wanderings, our backslidings. We have to echo, Lord, in our hearts the language of the hymn writer, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. Do grant that as we gather around thy word at this evening hour, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide upon us. O most gracious Lord, we pray that thou wouldst lead us into thy truth. Holy, blessed, divine Spirit, we pray for thy heavenly power. We pray for thy divine unction. We pray that thou wouldst open the word of God, convince us of our sin, and lead to Jesus' blood, and to our wondering eyes reveal the secret love of God. For Lord, we cannot do these things ourselves. We're poor, we're weak, we're needy, we're sinful. Lord, we do not glory in these solemn things, but we would put our mouth in the dust and confess, O Lord, our inability and our uncleanness and our unrighteousness. And solemnly, Lord, it's a sinful inability. Comes through the fall that affects us all. O most gracious God, have mercy upon us. We do beseech thee. Deliver us from the work and power of that great enemy of souls, even Satan. Even thine own great enemy, O Lord. O Lord Jesus, thou wast manifested to destroy the works of the devil. O most gracious Lord, we thank thee for what thou hast done. And yet still, O Lord, he harries us. Still he tempts us. Still he seeks to draw us aside. Still he comes sometimes as an angel of light to deceive us. Still he comes as a roaring lion to frighten us. And Lord, we have not the wisdom nor the strength to stand against the wiles of the wicked one. Oh, help us to be diligent. We do humbly beseech thee. For we know that he goeth about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Oh, most gracious Lord, we pray to be delivered from temptation. We pray to be delivered from the power and the dominion of sin. We pray to be delivered from an evil heart of unbelief. We pray to be led and taught and guided and directed by Thee. Teach us truth and give us love. Shine into our souls with the light of the gospel. Without Thy heavenly power, O Lord, no sweets the gospel can afford, no drops of heavenly love will fall. We pray that it may be so. The dew of heaven upon our branch, the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We pray for those divine drawings of our Heavenly Father to draw us unto His best beloved and glorious Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord. For none come except the Father draw. We thank Thee for the eternal love of our Father in Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, we do bless Thee that God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son. Oh, we thank Thee, O Lord, for Thine everlasting love. We thank Thee for the wonderful glories of Christ, for this is the foundation of all our hope. What Jesus has done, what Jesus has accomplished, what Jesus has fulfilled. We thank Thee for those wonderful words of grace that Thou hast so wonderfully fulfilled. I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Oh, we bless Thee that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And we come to Thee, Lord Jesus, and we seek Thy righteousness. We can do nothing good ourselves. We thank Thee for what Thou hast done. The spotless, innocent, perfect Son of God, manifest in the flesh, who did no sin, but neither was any guile found in His mouth. Oh, we do thank Thee for that perfect and everlasting righteousness wrought out by God the Son. We bless Thee for that wonderful and sacred name, that Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. For Lord, this is our only hope in the righteousness of Jesus. We bless Thee for the wonderful glory of His life. We bless Thee for the wonderful glory of His holy sacrifice. That dear suffering Saviour, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I lay down my life for my friends. Great God, this is our only hope. In that precious Redeemer who has laid down His life and taken it again. Oh, we thank Thee for that holy, perfect sacrifice of the cross of Calvary. Sin has been put away. Divine justice has been satisfied. A new and living way has been made into the holy place. God and sinners are reconciled. Lord Jesus, Son of God Most High, we do bless Thee for the wonderful glory of Thy person. We bless Thee for those sacred words, "It is finished." And we bless Thee for the empty tomb, death swallowed up in victory. A living Saviour who has the power of an endless life, who has said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." We bless Thee, O Lord, for the wonderful glory of a great High Priest sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. We have an Advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the Righteous. Oh, what wonderful words of grace. May we enter, O Lord, into them this evening hour. May we understand that glorious mystery of godliness. May our eyes be opened, our ears opened, our hearts open. Blessed, Holy Comforter, we pray that Thou wouldst come and that Thou wouldst powerfully work in the pulpit and in the pew, and that the Word may be in power in the Holy Ghost and with much assurance. that it may reach into our very souls, that we may feed upon it, that it may be a living word, that it may be an enlightening word, that it may be a convicting word, that it may be a delivering word, that it may be a word that brings freedom and liberty into some poor sinner's heart. Holy, blessed Spirit of truth, we read of thee in the word, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. O blessed Comforter, may we have a realization in our hearts as we gather round thy word at this evening hour, for God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba Father. What wonderful words of grace to such poor, wretched, hell-deserving sinners. What a glorious light there is that shines in Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Lamb. Oh, that that light may shine into our hearts. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts with the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Lord, may it be so at this evening hour. May the power that brings salvation be exerted in the word. Bless this people, Lord. We pray for each and every one of them. We pray for the little babes and the children as they're brought into the sanctuary, that thy rich blessing may rest upon them. Lord, we often feel our hearts softened when we read those precious words of our Lord Jesus, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. O Lord, we pray thy blessing upon the young friends. We pray that they may know thy direction, thy leading, thy teaching. We pray that thy holy filial fear may be placed in their hearts by thy good Spirit, an unctuous light to all that's right and a bar to all that's wrong. May thy word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And that may it please thee to guide our young friends in all matters, but especially unto Jesus Christ, that they may be brought to know thee and to serve thee and to follow thee. Lord, there is but one thing needful. And Lord, the psalmist said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and inquire in his tabernacle. And Lord, that is our desire for each of our young friends. We pray for them in all the paths of providence, in their education, that they may be guided and directed by thee, and in employment, that they may, O Lord, see thy good hand in guiding them and supplying all their many needs. And also, Lord, regarding a partner in life journey, may it please thee, O Lord, to help them to wait upon thee and to watch unto prayer. We pray, most gracious Lord, for parents, that they may be given wisdom and help to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We pray for each and every one in the midst of the journey of life, bearing the heat and the burden of the day, that thou wouldst graciously guide and direct and teach. Thou hast said, I will bring the blind by a way which they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst lead and teach and guide us. We do humbly beseech thee. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst deliver us from temptation and the power and dominion of sin. We pray, O Lord God, that thou wouldst be with friends in the evening time of life's journey. Be gracious and grant that as the outward man perisheth, the inward man may be renewed day by day. Oh, do grant, O Lord, that thou wouldst quicken souls, whether young or old. Quicken souls and make them cry, give me Christ or else I die. Let thy work appear, let thy power be known, let thy grace be manifested. Pray, O Lord, for those that are unable to gather, family responsibilities, various other reasons, O Lord, why they may not be able to be here, that thou wouldst bless them where they are. And we pray, O Lord, for those also that could be here but have no desire to be here. Oh, we pray, O Lord, that thy work may appear. We pray that the light and glory and power of gospel truth may shine from this house of prayer into this village of Swavesey and the surrounding villages and hamlets, and that precious souls may be gathered in, and the Lord Jesus exalted among them, and the strongholds of Satan pulled down, and the kingdom of Jesus Christ set up in the hearts of sinners. Lord, let thy work appear. Let thy power be known. Let thy grace be manifested. We do humbly beseech thee. We pray for all thy labouring servants as they labour in word and doctrine upon the walls of Zion, that thou wouldst strengthen them and help them, and graciously go before them, and grant that they may dip their foot in oil and be made acceptable unto the brethren, and that the word preached may be in power in the Holy Ghost and with much assurance, that there may be those mighty signs and wonders that shall follow the preaching of the word. We pray, O Lord, for thy servants that are in affliction. We would especially remember our beloved brother John Broom, and we lovingly commend him to thee and to the word of thy grace, and pray that the arms of thine everlasting love may surround him and his dear one at this time of deep affliction. Thou knowest what thy will is, and we lovingly commend them to thee. We pray that thou, the great Lord of the harvest, would raise up and send young men to preach the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ, with feet to run where thou dost send, with a thus saith the Lord, and they may preach without fear or favour, setting forth the wonderful glories of our Lord Jesus Christ, determined to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Look upon the churches up and down the land. Lord, wherever thy gospel is preached, wherever thy servants stand, wherever thy people gather, in the length and breadth of our land, may there be a turning again unto thee. May there be a rebuilding of the wall, a renewing and a strengthening of thy people. And that may we see the fulfilling of that word, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I must bring. Lord, we long to see Zion's offspring come, and we read in thy word, and they shall come. And O Lord, we believe they will, in thine own time and way. We pray, most gracious Lord, for our nation. Thou seest the solemn days in which we live, and the threat to our Protestant throne. We pray that thou wouldst overturn and bring to naught the counsels of those in high places in our land that would seek to overturn the act of settlement. Hear us, O Lord, we beseech thee. And we pray that thou wouldst bring to naught the counsels of those that would seek to undermine the sacred institution of marriage. Lord, bring to naught their counsels, overturn their desires. We do humbly beseech thee. There is nothing too hard for thee. Hear the cries of thy little remnant. We're not deserving, O Lord, of thy mercy or of thy goodness, but we plead with thee for Jesus Christ's sake. O Lord, we thank thee for all the mercies of thy kind providence, all thy goodness that has passed before us in the way. Truly, thy mercies, O Lord, are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. Be with us now, O Lord, as we turn to thy holy word, and grant the opening of thy word and the opening of our hearts, the opening of our ears. Lord, we're dependent upon thee, but oh, do come and do touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. Do bless our beloved brethren, the deacons here. Thou knowest all their needs, all their concerns. and we commend them to thee, and do unite them together as a church in the sacred bonds of Christian love, union and communion, and do be pleased, O Lord, in thine appointed time to grant them a settled ministry, one of thy servants to come in and out among them and to feed them with knowledge and with understanding. We ask all with the forgiveness of all sin for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 302. If unto Jesus thou art bound, a crowd about him will be found, attending day and night, a worldly crowd to din thy ears, and crowds of unbelieving fears to hide him from thy sight. 302.
greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the third chapter of the prophecy of Zephaniah, and we will read verses 16 and 17 for our text. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. How many times we read this in the prophecies concerning the New Testament in that day, all the way through the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah, and especially in these minor prophets, when they begin to speak of what the Lord is going to do in gospel days, it usually starts with this, in that day. And the church in the Old Testament was looking forward to this day, was waiting for the Lord's appearing, was waiting for the coming of the Messiah, was waiting to see the power of God in deliverance. Now when the Lord was here on earth, even the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, they held to that common notion that was common among the Jews, and that is that when the Messiah came, that he was going to literally restore the literal kingdom of Israel on earth, as it was in those glorious and wonderful days when Solomon was here upon earth. And really, as far as the Old Testament goes, the most glorious days of the children of Israel as a nation were under King Solomon. And so they were waiting for that same glory to be revealed when the Messiah came. And indeed, you will find, if you carefully read in the Gospels, that our Lord Jesus Christ, he corrected the disciples on this point. Even after he'd risen from the dead. And you remember those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they said, why, we believed it was he. They were speaking to the Lord Jesus. They didn't know it was the Lord Jesus. And we said, why, we believed it was he that would come and restore the kingdom of Israel. You see, this was a common belief among the Jews. And so, therefore, it became a common opinion even among the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. But, of course, that was never the intention of the Lord Jesus. As we read in the Word of God, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And the gospel of Jesus Christ was not to be confined to the land of Israel, to the geographical Jerusalem or Zion. No. It was to be preached in every nation, every kingdom, every tongue, every tribe, and every people. And you'll find an emphasis that is laid upon that. We see it now more clearly in the Old Testament, because in the New Testament there is this great emphasis that is laid on the universal spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout all the nations of the earth. And indeed, the kingdom that was to be ushered in at the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, what is called the kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, was to be a spiritual kingdom. As he said himself, my kingdom is not of this world. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a heavenly kingdom. And as we have prophesied in the Old Testament, you think of it in the Jeremiah and especially in Ezekiel, I will put my spirit within them. I will write my laws in their heart. You see, it was to be a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom of spiritual power that is clearly revealed in the Word of God. In this prophecy of Zephaniah, we read, of course, in the beginning of this chapter, in the previous chapters, of the terrible decline of godliness among the children of Israel and their waywardness and their sinfulness. And he says here how the prophets are light and treacherous persons, how priests have polluted the sanctuary instead of cleansing it and purging it, and instead of peace there was violence. They have done violence to the law. In other words, there was a corruption. And when our Lord Jesus Christ came upon earth, that corruption had permeated right through the body of the Jewish people, among the high priests and everywhere. And he says here, the just Lord in the midst thereof, he will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgments to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. It's the same today as it was then, my beloved friends. The unjust knoweth no shame. That old proverb is so very true. There's none so blind as them that will not see. But the point here in this prophecy, in verse 8, he says, therefore wait ye upon me. This is a word to the Lord's children. Now we know that this is a word to the Old Testament church. But of course, no scripture is of any private interpretation. And this is equally a word to the church of God today. Where it says here of Zion, of Israel, of Jerusalem. In verse 14 he says, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. What is it speaking of? Well, it's certainly not speaking of the geographical, the literal Zion. Zion was really a hill on the corner of the city of Jerusalem. Israel, of course, in the Old Testament, were the chosen people of God. The Lord had chosen them. That was where the Messiah was to be born, of that seed. But when we look at this in the light, as we always must in the Old Testament, we must always look at it and interpret it in the light of the New Testament. And so as we look at these words, we look at them as they are relevant to us today. And the word that is spoken here, it is to the Zion today, the church of God today, the living church of God, Zion, Israel, the daughter of Jerusalem. And what he says here in the 17th verse, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Still true today, my beloved friends. He loves the gates of Zion. He loves the church of the living God. He does. The Lord does. And he has promised to build it up. He speaks here to the living family of God today in these gospel days. And he says, therefore wait ye upon me. How many of us here are really burdened concerning Zion, concerning the church of the living God? How many of us enter into our closet continually with a burden on our heart, with a longing in our soul that the Lord would make bare his holy arm, that the Lord would bless the ministry of the word, that the Lord would send out his light and his truth, that the Lord would pull down the strongholds of Satan? You might say to me, oh, that's what I want the Lord to do for me. Absolutely right, we do. we need a very personal religion and we need the Lord to appear for us. But I want to tell you this, my beloved friends, if the grace of God reaches your heart and if Christ is made precious to your soul, Zion, the church of the living God, will lay very close to your heart and it will be in the midst of your prayers. The grace of God never makes a man selfish. And you'll be burdened. And as the Lord, he says here, unto these characters in Zion. And you know, my beloved friends, it's very sad to say, but there's very few of these characters in the churches today. I often think of that hymn and I look back to those godly men in my youth. Where are those we counted leaders, bright examples to our youth? Where are they? My beloved friends, again, the grace of God experienced in the heart. Think of those words of our Lord Jesus. Seek ye first. What comes first in our lives? What comes first in our prayers? Is it the church of God? How many of us have come here tonight praying? Praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Praying for the prosperity of Jerusalem. Praying that the word of the Lord might be powerfully applied in the hearts of his people. Praying that the Lord would quicken souls and make them cry, "Give me Christ or else I die." I say, how many of us are really burdened in this way? I have to say it, friends, in the church of God today, there are very few. There are very few that are really burdened concerning the church of God. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord. And this word, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. If you look at verse 5, he says again there, the just Lord is in the midst of thee. The just Lord is in the midst of thee. He dwells in Zion. He says in verse 12, I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. How many of us are an afflicted and poor people? How many of us know the plague of our own heart? We read in that prayer of Solomon in the dedication of the temple, and every man shall know the plague of his own heart. What's he speaking of? He's speaking of those who are truly spiritually brought into Zion. And every man shall know the plague of his own heart. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment to come. Every man truly, not just those that come into Zion, not just those that come to the services of God's house, but those that are brought in by the Spirit of God, brought into union with Jesus Christ, brought to love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth, brought to follow our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, brought to put him first in everything. You know, this is what the grace of God works in the heart. In the soul, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. And they shall trust in the name of the Lord. They shall trust. So it goes on here and it speaks of a people that have been sanctified and separated from the world. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. The people of God, sanctified by the Spirit, when the Holy Ghost speaks to their heart, come out from among them. What's it speaking of among them? This world that lieth in wickedness. Come out. That divine work of the Spirit is a sanctifying work. It separates us from this world. Not in any self-righteous, pharisaical way. but in making Jesus Christ precious unto your soul, so that you see a beauty and loveliness in Jesus Christ. You see him as the altogether lovely one, as the chiefest among 10,000. You long to lay hold of him. You long to hear his voice. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me. Are you following Jesus Christ? Are you following Jesus Christ? It's a vital point in real religion, my beloved friend. Now, when these precious souls are indeed brought into Zion, into the church of the living God, and by being brought in, I mean literally, spiritually brought in, into the midst of the church, and they're brought to echo in their soul, "Hear my best friends, my kindred dwell, hear God my Saviour reigns," you're brought to love the Lord. Like David, when he says in Psalm 116, "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice, the voice of my supplications," and you're no more a stranger, you're no more a guest, but you're at home. "This people shall be my people, their God, my God. Where thou dwellest, I will dwell. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up unto the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates." My beloved friends, how many of us here in this chapel tonight really know that? "Our feet shall stand within thy gates." You might say, well, we're here at chapel. We're within the house of God. We're listening to the preaching of the word. Are you in Christ? You know, that's a vital point in all real religion. Are you in Christ? Do you know Christ? Is there a beauty and attraction in Jesus Christ? What think ye of Christ is the test. That is the test, my beloved friends, of all real religion. What do I know of Jesus Christ? This is the vital, this is the touchstone of all real religion. You might say, well, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm wretched. I know I'm undone. I know I need salvation. And as far as that goes, it's good and right and proper as far as it goes. But they're not the evidences that you're a child of God. Oh, most certainly not. My dear beloved friends, the only clear evidence is given to us in God's holy word of being a living child of God is when Christ is made supremely dear to your soul, when he becomes the one thing needful. That's real religion. It's when Christ becomes the one thing needful. And when you desire to hear his voice. You think of the spouse in Solomon's Song, chapter 1. "Tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest." Can you say that? That's real religion, my beloved friends. "Tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest." Now, I want to be very careful here. I don't want to, as it were, cut any of the Lord's little ones off. Do you desire to love him? It may be that the Lord has led you gently on and you desire to love him. "'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not?" Oh, may the Lord indeed grant that these things may be experienced, and that as I speak of these things, it may find an echo in your heart that you do desire to follow the Lord. And you've come here tonight because you desire to hear his voice. You desire to see his countenance. "Tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest, where thou feedest." Where thou feedest. What that word means, my beloved friends, it's not so much the Lord Jesus feeding, it's the church feeding. Where the Lord Jesus is feeding his church and his people. "Tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest, where thou art feeding thy people, where thou feedest. See, there was that longing desire to know. That longing desire to know Christ and to feed under his word. For the soul to be fed. That longing desire to be fed with living bread. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. Let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. You know, and these souls taught by the Spirit, they need a mighty Saviour. They have a great burden of sin. They have great impossibilities in their lives. They have great needs. They are, as it says here, I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. And that really describes what the living family of God are, an afflicted and a poor people. This is not speaking of natural poverty, not that we despise that, but it's speaking of a spiritual poverty. As the Lord Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They're poor and afflicted. See, in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee. In the prophecy of Zechariah, in the second chapter, we read concerning Zion. Indeed, the word is spoken unto Zechariah, and he said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited. This is speaking of the prosperity of Zion. As we've said, we look at these words in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited. Notice, it speaks in the forward tense. That which is to come. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. See, what is the glory in the midst of the church? It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the glory. I will be the glory in the midst of her. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which by interpretation is God with us. That's what Christ is. He's the glory in the midst of Zion. You know, he will visit his people. Just think for a moment of those wonderful and precious words of grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he speaks to the church of God, speaks to the disciples, and it's left on record for the church of God. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? See, to Zion, the church of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him. Who? Father and Son. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. How? How does the Father and the Son come to the church? By the Holy Ghost. And my beloved friends, you cannot have one without the other. It is an utter impossibility for the Spirit of God to dwell in a person and for them not to have the Father and the Son. It's an utter impossibility. These three are one. One blessed, infinite, eternal, and almighty Lord Jehovah. And we will come unto him. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, if the Spirit of God dwells in our hearts, of course, we desire the revelation of these things, the opening of these things by the Spirit unto our hearts, that we might taste and handle and feel of them. You know, on this point, let us just consider what the Lord Jesus is in this very chapter, the 14th of John, and I'm really thinking of this word, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee. And you see, the disciples, Jesus saith unto him, because Thomas has said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee. What does one of the sweet hymn writers say? Dwell therefore in our hearts. Oh, what a wonderful mercy. If there's one or two here tonight and you say, dwell therefore in our hearts. It goes on in the second chapter of Zechariah. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And now we read of the blessings to the Gentile church throughout the nations of the earth. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. I dwell in the midst of thee. What a precious thing if we know this. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, in that day shall it be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not. Why is this said to Jerusalem, to the church of God? Because the church and individual believers are surrounded with many enemies. This world is a wilderness. And we have many enemies that surround us. You've only got to look, especially in the nation at large today, and the things that are going on in our by our government, and that they are enemies to the truth, and they are enemies to righteousness. They are enemies to the church of the living God. But we must never forget this word. You see, and the reason that the Lord speaks these words unto us is because of these enemies of truth. He says, fear thou not. Who art thou that thou art afraid of a man? That's what the Lord says in his word. Fear thou not. And to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. You know how we sometimes hear this, my beloved friends, and well, we live in such wicked days, we live in such evil days, and it's a day of small things, and we can't expect really the Lord to work in this wicked day in which we live. Say unto Zion, let not thy hands be slack. That's the very thing that should take you on your knees, crying unto your almighty God that he will make bare his holy arm, that he will pull down the strongholds of Satan, that he will work mightily in the midst of his church, and that precious souls shall be gathered in. Let not thy hands be slack. You know, as I was meditating yesterday in this word, my mind was very much drawn to the following chapter in Haggai. And what drew me there is this. In the first chapter there, as you probably know, it was at the time of the return of the children of Israel from the land of captivity, and the return was in the days of Nehemiah. Some 42,000 souls and return, and the walls of Jerusalem were built. It was made secure, and they built their houses. But this prophecy of Haggai comes about 18 years or 20 years after the time of Nehemiah. You see, and he says here, you see, thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lays waste? Is it time to just sit back and fold your hands, and just like they were doing, the Jerusalem was now safe from its enemies, the walls were built, the gates were there, and the defense was all there, and they were comfortable. Ye dwell in your sealed houses. And this house, which house? The house of God, laid waste. Is it time for you? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. You have so much. Bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. He that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. And so what does he exhort them to? Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. But why? He says, consider your ways. Why? Because you're not seeking first the kingdom of heaven and my righteousness. That's what he means if we put it in New Testament words. You're putting yourself first and your comfort first, and not the house of God. Not the house of God. I say, my beloved friends, what is your chief concern? What is my chief concern? Is it God's house? Is it the sanctuary? Is it the prosperity of Zion? He says, therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. You see, but through the ministry of Haggai, he says, then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Josedek the high priest with all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before him. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. You see, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He's a prayer hearing and he's a prayer answering God. We read in Zechariah, for I am returned unto Jerusalem with mercies. What a wonderful word, what an encouraging word that has been to me over the years. For I am returned unto Jerusalem with mercies. What a mercy, my beloved friends, if the Lord stirs up your heart and your spirit. He says here, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. You see, they'd settled down upon their lees. They'd become complacent. And you know, that's the natural condition of our flesh. It is. We'd like an easy life, and providing we've got our chapel, and providing we've got the prayer meeting, and providing we've got a minister in the pulpit, and everything's all comfortable and going along nicely, we're quite happy. We don't look for any more. My beloved friends, Does Jerusalem, does Zion burden your heart? Does it? And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. That was the effect of the ministry of the word among them. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. You know, when the Lord Jesus commissioned his servants to go forth and preach the gospel, and what did he say to them? You see, I'm thinking of this word here, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. What did he say to the disciples? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. Go ye therefore. Why? Because all power. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything that the Lord cannot do? Whether it's personally in your own life, in your own spiritual experience, in your own circumstances, in the church of God, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, my beloved friends, may the Lord stir up our spirit and stir us up to an holy diligence in prayer and give him no rest until he make Jerusalem a praise in all the earth. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. Just think of those precious words. May they be a word in season unto us. In Isaiah chapter 62, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof goeth forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. What is the glory of Zion? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Is that the joy of your heart? Is that what you long to behold? Jesus Christ and him crucified. And is it what you long others to behold? And is there that burden in your soul that the Lord will gather in, that the Lord will build up, that the Lord will renew? You know, these things are not written for nothing in God's word. They're there for our instruction. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Oh, what is Zion called by? The name of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the Father, manifest in the flesh. Thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. This is Zion, the church of the living God, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more return forsaken. Goes on here and he says, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen. Who's that? The Lord's servant. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent. Keep not silence and give him no rest. This is a word of exhortation, my beloved friends. And give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. You see, these are the wonderful blessings that the Lord promises upon his church and upon his people. My mind, it goes to that wonderful chapter in Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. Upon Zion, upon the church of the living God. And his glory shall be seen upon thee. And this is the wonderful promises, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Goes on here in this chapter, he speaks of the multitude of camels, and he says, and the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee, for in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favour have I had mercy upon thee. You think back those times of reviving in the Church of God. Think back, not that far, to the times of Gadsby, Kershaw, Warburton, Philpott. Wonderful, mighty men of God. They preached to packed congregations. Many precious souls were gathered in. There was a few people gathering together in Trowbridge when Warburton first went there. And the Lord spoke that word into his heart. I have much people in this city. When the dear man of God died, there was nearly 1,000 people worshipping in his chapel. He said that was the mighty hand of God. We have the same God. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. He says, for the nation and kingdom, therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and their kings may be brought. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee. The fir tree, these fir trees, pine tree, box tree, it means the Lord's children. They're trees of the Lord's right hand planting, and they shall take root downward and they shall bear fruit upward. This is speaking of the wonderful glory of God in Christ. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles and shalt suck the breasts of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Saviour and thy Redeemer. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver. And then he says at the end of the chapter, I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. In his time. Again, you know, these following words have been made so very precious to me since I've been at Lamberhurst. And we begin to look to see the Lord doing it. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing. Cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Now, this is the word that has been so sweet to me. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, strengthen thy cords. And lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand on the left. What does the Lord say to us in the book of Psalms? Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And I will fill it. Oh, my beloved friends, these things are written in God's word for our instruction. For our instruction. I hope it doesn't fall on too many deaf ears. I really do. You know, Zion is in such a low state. And even those in Zion that are born again of the Spirit, they're in such a sleepy state. They are. And you know, these things deeply burden the hearts of the Lord's servants. When they see this sleepy condition, we see a spirit very similar to Laodicea. Thou art neither cold nor hot. Therefore, says the Lord, I will spew thee out of my mouth. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Oh, that this might be a word in season. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. You know that Dr. Owen makes a comment on this verse 17. He will rest in his love. And he says what it means, it's a love of complacency. And what he means by that, a love of complacency, it's an eternal love. It's an unchanging love. It's a love that the Lord rests upon his Zion. Zion is in his heart. Zion is in his affections. He will rest in that love. It's an unchanging love. Yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. These sweet drawings. It's an unchanging love. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Our love sometimes hot, is sometimes cold. But his love is always the same. And the mercy is, my beloved friends, as far as Zion goes, he rests in that love. He rests in that love to Zion. You know, when I was thinking of this yesterday, this eternal love of Christ, of God, to his people. And my mind was drawn to this verse in hymn 96a, mine is an unchanging love, higher than the heights above, deeper than the depths beneath, free and faithful, strong as death. My beloved friends, he rests in that love. It's the eternal love of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's eternally the same. It never changes. In spite of all our wanderings, in spite of all our backsliding, in spite of all our coldness and all our hardness, he rests in this eternal love that is in Jesus Christ. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. He sent his only begotten Son to redeem you. He sent him to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He sent him to suffer what no tongue could tell. He sent him to be crucified on the cross of Calvary. He sent him to bear away the sins of the church of his people. Oh, my beloved friends, it's an unchanging and an everlasting love. He sent him to suffer, bleed and die, that he might rise again and swallow up death in victory. He rests in that love. That love that is in Christ Jesus, that eternal love, that almighty love. That's the foundation. Behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, and this is the foundation. It's in Jesus Christ and him crucified. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. And then he goes on, I will gather. You see, I will gather. How we long to see him gather precious souls. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly. I will gather. He says here, at that time will I bring you again. Even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing.
God willing, Mr. Burgess is expected to preach next Lord's Day. There will be a prayer meeting next Monday evening, and Mr. Chapman is expected to preach on Friday next week. Let us close with hymn 637. Jesus, thou art our only rest, from sin and guilt and fears. We love to lean upon thy breast, and on thee cast our cares. 637. Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and forever. Amen.